You are listening to The Point, and who better to take us on a trip of Cape Cod than a 12th generation Cape Codder? Christopher Sederlund joins us to talk about his book, In My Footsteps, A Cape Cod Travel Guide. Welcome.
Hi, Mindy. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And right off the bat, Sederlund, they're going, 12th generation Cape Codder, so explain that.
Okay. My roots go back. I'm part of the Doan family. That's my grandmother on my father's side, and they are part of the Doans that discovered East Ham. And Deacon John Doan is my ninth great-grandfather. But my grandfather on my father's side, he's the last name Sederlund, and that is Swedish. So I have to make a point to explain, honestly, I am 12th generation, even though my last name is nothing that you would see on any buildings or street signs around here.
Right. So what was the mission with the travel guide? What were you setting out to do?
Well, a lot of the places in there are places that I've seen hundreds and hundreds of times in my life, and I kind of wanted to share those places, the lesser known. I've got a lot of places that are that everyone knows about, but then there are secret places that only the locals know about, and I kind of wanted to share those because as the years go by, it seems like the old Cape Cod is not disappearing, but it's becoming harder to find, and there are still a lot of places where you go. And that's the throwback to even when I was a kid.
Mm. All right. So I'm going to have to take you to task on the secret places. You know, there's a lot of local Cape Codders who are going to go, what? He's sharing our secret places?
Oh, believe me. I have actually started getting people that are giving me some grief about giving away their secret places. And the only thing I can say to them is I've given away some of my secret places, too. My favorite sunset spot is not very well known, and it's in the book, so...
Where is it? Which place is that?
It's Monk's Park in Monument Beach. Mm. And when you go up towards the Bourne Bridge, you take a left, and there's a little road, and it comes out, and there's a few islands. And my favorite spot, there's the railroad tracks go by, and you go, and you can sit on the railroad tracks, and... Depending on the time of year, the sun will usually set right in front of you in between these two islands. And most people can't see you up there. You can just sit and enjoy it. And that I kind of discovered that by accident, just driving around. And I said, oh, what's down there? And there were the railroad tracks. And that's kind of a hideaway.
So how did you choose the places that you highlight in the book? As you mentioned, there's some very well-known places and then some that maybe people aren't so familiar with. But there's a lot of places on Cape Cod that you could have used that you didn't in the book. So how did you decide?
For the most part, I chose places that I really connected with, figuring that most people that either live here or like to visit here would connect with them as well. I'm not saying I'm some kind of expert, but...
Yes, you picked those places you thought people would enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I should say that last one, you said you gave away your secret place. You have directions to all of these places. So it's not like you go, wait, I have to remember that road. You, at the top of each location, you've got exact directions. You also have information about if it costs any money to get in and that sort of thing.
Yes. I have GPS coordinates too to try. I wanted to make this book, make the Cape as easily accessible as possible for as many people. So every spot is in the order you would see it geographically, coming over the Sagamore Bridge and directions place to place. I'm not saying you could do it all in one day, but on the longest day of the year, I would think you probably could.
I don't know. You're right. You wouldn't have been able to spend much time at each of these places.
No.
But so you have it. You come over the bridge and then you kind of take us up all the way up to, you know, Provincetown. And you come back down, you know, through Chatham and Harwich and back the other way. So you're saying you're trying to save people some gas money here.
Yes, absolutely. That was actually a big part of it because I figured it, not that many people need an excuse to come down to the Cape, but you see all these places, you see the pictures, and then you realize, wow, I can get to these it's pretty idiot proof. Well, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And so I would think it would make people want to travel rather than seeing a spot and then, well, if I go out there, I have to find it myself. And I did all of that where before I had a GPS, I was doing some of these trips off Cape and trying to find places with handwritten directions is not easy.
No. All right, so let's talk about some of the places in the book. Sandy Neck, the famed dunes of Sandy Neck have long been protected by locals. As far back as the 1700s, measures were put in place to keep the dunes from eroding. Farmers were told not to allow their herds to graze there, and whaling ships anchored offshore were limited to the wood they could take from the Sandy Neck area for their boilers. So you have little tidbits of information about these places other than just, hey, this is a pretty place.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just, I wanted to give people a history lesson with some of the spots as well. Sort of like, I know why I like to go to these places, but you need to give someone who's maybe never been there or never heard of it a reason to go.
Right. So we start in Sandwich. That's in Sandwich. And you've got several other places. And I notice in some chapters you might have, you know, just three places to visit in one town, and you might have half a dozen in another.
I wanted to make sure that I included every nook and cranny of the Cape, because honestly, places like Provincetown and Falmouth and probably Sandwich and Chatham, I could make a whole book just on those places.
Right.
But that's where most of the average visitors would go. So I wanted to take them away from those normal spots and get them into places that are less known.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, there were a couple of surprises to me. I think I travel around the Cape pretty much, and there were several. I didn't even realize, I guess I've driven by this 100 times and never even thought about it. The Coast Guard Heritage Museum, an old jail.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Tell us about those.
Well, I believe the museum is more recent. The old jail actually was moved from, there's Old Jail Lane in Barnstable that's down past the courthouse, and that's where the jail was, and that was moved more recently, and it's old. It's got some of the carving still in there from the, I guess, criminals that were held there.
Yeah, so it says it was believed to be built in the 1690s and was in use until the new stone jail was built around 1820.
It's so tiny when you see it. You would probably, you would miss it if you went by. It's small.
Yeah. Then, of course, Coast Guard's connection to the Cape. It makes sense that we have a Coast Guard Heritage Museum.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I knew that that would be interesting. I mean, there's so many Coast Guard stations, usually around a lighthouse. That's usually where they sit. But I figured people would want to go and see, have a more centralized location to see all the history. Maritime history of the Cape.
Right. And then, of course, our next visit is Yarmouth Port. And one of the ones I picked out here was Captain Bang's Hallett House.
I actually have, I'm not saying I'm related to Captain Hallett, but I have some Hallets in my family tree going way back. I love, more than the house itself, the beech tree behind it.
I was going to say, the English weeping beech tree. Tell us about that.
Oh, that thing, it's amazing, especially in the summer when it's blooming. The branches, they touch the ground and they kind of, you know, they will lay there and you can walk in and it's like being in another world where the light can barely filter through. It's an old tree and it has these steel wires that hold the branches up, and there's signs that say, I'm a weeping beech tree and I'm over 100 years old. Please don't sit on my branches. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. It's got hundreds and hundreds of names carved in it, which...
Don't do that anymore. Yeah.
No. I'm not endorsing that.
But from long ago, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely worth the trip just to see the beech tree.
Oh, that is... I mean, I've been to the house itself and I know the history where the captains swapped the houses in, I believe, in the 1850s or 60s. That's one of the nuggets with that.
1863 is what you got here. Yeah, that's great. All right, let's move to Dennis and East Dennis. And one of the best spots, other than your spot you mentioned to see the sunset, is Chapin Beach in Dennis. And I believe right now you can also see the right whales off of Chapin Beach.
I have heard that. I have yet to see them. People keep asking me if I've gone to see them. Like they've expected that I would have been the one to tell them, did you see the whales? And I haven't, but Chapin Beach is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That I actually took a picture of the sunset there probably 6 months ago, and it was one of the best pictures I've ever taken. And it's just, there was no editing needed. It's just the way that beach lays out.
Yes, spectacular place. We're talking with Christopher Sutherland. His book is In My Footsteps, A Cape Cod Travel Guide. All right, so let's see. Brewster, one of my favorite places. You included Cape Cod Museum of Natural History and Wing Island. And if you haven't walked the grounds there, you really have to.
Oh, boy. It's kind of ironic that you picked that spot out because I have a famous, well, famous in my circle story from when I went there. I actually wrote about it, too, with the tides, where you need to really check the tides or else you can get stranded out on Wing Island. And I had that happen to me, where I walked out across the marsh, and the boards were a little damp, and I didn't really think of it. I said, oh, I'm going to go out and take some nice pictures, and that's where my mindset was. And hour and a half later, I'm coming back, and there's 2 feet of water where the tide had come in, and I had to navigate my way across the marsh. So I just walked in my shoes and my pants across. And it's a story that my family, my sisters, my nieces and nephews, they love me telling that story. And actually, at my first book signing I did last month, one of my sisters made a point to ask me to tell the story to the people there, which I guess I'll never live that down.
No, but it's, and of course there's the osprey nest there, and then, you know, lots of kids' activities inside the museum itself. It's a great little spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so Orleans, tell us about the removable trees in Rock Harbor. I did not know this story.
Really?
Yeah.
It's when I first went there as a kid, I remember seeing these trees that they kind of usher the boats into the harbor. Just to make sure, because when the tide gets down, the tidal flats, boats could easily get stuck there. And the trees, I'm not sure what kind of trees they are, but they've got the street signs on them, and they lead the boats in. And it's incredible. It's something that adds to that location.
Yeah, and you say the trees are adorned with regular street signs to reflect the lights of incoming vessels, and the trees are removed during the winter, so you only see them there in the summer. So that's interesting as well. All right, so another great place. I mean, really, we're just kind of picking one. There's a lot of them here, but Peniman House and Fort Hill. That, of course, in East Ham, Fort Hill is just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful.
That is another one of my favorite sunrise locations. I love that spot. Even when it's cold, it's still great. I've gone.
You can sit in the car and still sit. Yeah, it's cold.
Because you can look down over the northern part of Nauset Beach. That's a spot everyone needs to visit. They have the trails there. You can go down towards the water.
Yep, and walk around.
But just the view, that's one of those places that you need to visit that I'm sure most people see the sign. There's a sign right on Route 6, but they probably pass by going towards one of the beaches instead.
Yeah, and there's that, as we mentioned, that panoramic view of Salt Pond Bay and the Atlantic Ocean, and then you mentioned the trail that goes down. And that's free. I mean, you can walk around there. It doesn't cost you anything to park. It's also free to walk into the Peniman House, but donations, of course, appreciated, as you say.
I've heard stories about the Peniman House being haunted, too, and I go there many times, and I've tried to see if there's anything going on there. There was one time last year I went, and the front door was open, and I'm walking around, and I was just taking a few pictures of it, and I saw something inside, and I started flipping out, thinking, oh, here it is, it's a ghost, and it was somebody from the National Seashore just there checking it out, and he walked out, and I'm standing on the lawn staring at him, and I think he was more scared by me just being there.
Yeah, see what happens with you, your mind can take you some crazy
places.
I said,
I'm sorry, I thought you were a ghost. And he just laughed at me.
I'm sure. All right, in Wellfleet Drive-In Theater, one of only 368 active drive-in movie theaters left in the country. When I was a kid, they were all over the place.
Even when I was a kid, I remember the one in Yarmouth by Parker's River, and it's incredible I can picture, there's three I remember in Dennis, Yarmouth, and Hyannis that are all gone now. That's a spot, I'm sure most people go there, but not every place in that book is, you know, an unknown.
Right, well, that's certainly not an unknown.
I added some greatest hits and some B-sides in there.
All right, so, and then Truro, North Truro, actually, we have Pilgrim Lake. This is an interesting story.
The fact that it is now where it was standing water for a while. Yes, that I remember when I was growing up, and if I would go up to Provincetown with the family, they would make a point to mention that fact that Pilgrim Lake was sort of like how Boston Harbor was back.
Yeah, it didn't it wasn't open to the ocean.
Yeah.
It, so you couldn't really, the water never changed over.
And then they did reconnect it to the ocean, and now it's reestablishing the ecosystem in there. And it's really nice that there's a location, if you drive off of Route 6, there's a road, and it goes, I can't think of the name of the road.
It goes up, and the houses are up there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you go up and you park
beautiful
there,
view, yeah.
And you have the view of the lake, and then you can see the Pilgrim Monument. Mm-hmm. I love going there because I'm sure most people.
And that's another one in Provincetown. We have Pilgrim Monument, which a lot of people know. But boy, talk about a view, right?
Oh, that I love that spot.
And you get your exercise at the same time.
Yes. That's a spot I always say I recommend as long as you don't mind climbing stairs. And, well, they have some ramps, too, but you need to enjoy climbing to go up there. I believe it's 250 feet tall.
Yeah. All right, so next stop is Chatham in your book, and I mean, there's a lot of places again you could pick out. Let's go to the Chatham Lighthouse. Tell us about Chatham Lighthouse.
Chatham Lighthouse, well, that it used to be a twin lighthouse, and there were two of them there until the 1920s, and one of them was moved up to Orleans, and it became Nauset Lighthouse. They just painted it half red, but I was actually there yesterday morning to shoot the sunrise. I must have 500 pictures of that lighthouse. Most of them look the same, but every time I go, I try to find a different angle. I think that's part of what I like about the photography is you find a spot you like, and then you try to get as many different views of it as possible. Mm. And
so photography is obviously a hobby of yours because you did all the photos in the book too.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I love photography. Yeah. It's something where a lot of photography is just right place, right time, where I mean, you do have to have skill. I don't want to downplay that. But for me, I don't have that much skill. I wasn't trained. It's a lot of it is just you happen upon something and you capture it. It's already there for you. You just have to find it.
All right. Next, we have Harwich. How about the Old Colony Rail Trail?
That is relatively new. That's a great spot. It leads you from Harwich down into Chatham. And there's actually on the bike path, when you come in from Dennis, there's a rotary on the bike trail, and it offshoots. One goes up to Wellfleet, and the other goes down towards Chatham. And that I'm a runner as well, so I enjoy going and running that because the Old Colony Rail Trail is more scenic, and right. It leads you into Chatham.
Yeah, West Dennis and South Dennis, you have the Cape Cod Rail Trail on that one.
Yes, absolutely. I had to put that in there. That's something that I'm sure most people at least attempt, but it used to be obviously the railroad system on the Cape, and they basically paved over. They're actually working on it going down through Yarmouth now, where it's in that same spot. There's the Indian lands.
Are you talking about in Yarmouth, the Indian Memorial? Is that what you're talking
about? No, it's actually in Dennis, there's the South Dennis Cemetery and the Indian lands. Mm-hmm. And if you go down the railroad tracks that are abandoned and grown over, eventually it would come to a railroad bridge that went over Bass River. But now they've torn that bridge down and they're working on extending the rail trail down into Yarmouth and eventually hopefully into Hyannis.
Oh, nice. Oh.
But it's been a while.
Yeah,
there's just no bridge. They haven't really done.
That gets costly, doesn't it?
Yeah, I imagine so.
All right, in Yarmouth, how about the Judah Baker Windmill?
Oh, that's a beautiful spot right on Bass River. And I went there. I shoot videos as well for spots in the book, and I edit them and I post them so people can get an idea of what it's like to be at these locations as a teaser. Mm-hmm. And when I was shooting the windmill, it was open and two nice people that were working there as volunteers, they just chatted me up and told me about the history of it. There's pictures in there of the old windmill and the people that used to, I guess, work there. Huh. They actually told me about a windmill that I hadn't even heard of before, the one in Chatham, the Godfrey Windmill. Right. And it's not in the book because I had never heard of it.
So that'd be one of those secret places. All right, Centerville, Craigville Beach. Everybody's heard about Craigville Beach, but boy, that's another great beach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Craigville. I made sure to put that in there because I figured if it was a book just of places that nobody had heard of, it might not be as accepted. I think most people would want some of the well-known spots like Craigville Beach, Nauset Beach, mm-hmm. and the drive-in. But yeah. You've got sure. to give the people what they want with some of it.
All right. So did you come across any surprises yourself when you were putting the book together?
Let's see. I was surprised by the fact that they allowed me out to Wings Neck Lighthouse in Pocasset because I asked. Yeah. I was surprised at that fact because places like that, that's actually private.
You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can take pictures from afar, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I put the pictures in there, but I made sure to note that, you know, don't go out there. I received permission. I actually asked, yeah. and they were nice enough.
Yeah, got the right place for the right time, I guess. Unfortunately, we don't have time to touch on all of the towns, but you have Cotuit, Mashpee, Falmouth, and Woods Hole. And let's see, what you've got Monument Beach, Pocasset, Bourne. So you touched everything.
I made sure to make it where you would basically stop every town on the Cape and find something there because I wanted to make them, the average visitor, care about the Cape like I do. I wanted them to see what I see, on a daily basis and sometimes take for granted.
Christopher Sutherland, his book is In My Footsteps, A Cape Cod Travel Guide. Thanks for the trip today, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Amy Vins produces The Point. With assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of WCAI, a service of WGBH.